If you remain standing for the reading of God's Word from Revelation, chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Thank you for inviting me back. I bring greetings from Victory Christian Fellowship. Those of you that know our story, we merged with a church called Faith Reformed, and it's a vibrant place, and pretty excited to see what God's doing there. So it's a pleasure, and I get to pray with Robert every Tuesday. Yeah, he prays for me mostly, I think, but away we go. I read this passage a few weeks ago, and it struck me, verse 5 in particular, that Jesus Christ says he is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. And of course, we've just celebrated Christmas, the baby in the manger, the baby who came to be our Savior, who God, in his will and in his plan, brought so that we could have salvation. And I got to thinking, you know, you just never know how a baby will turn out. I'm reminded of the last time my son, who's now 45 or something like that, held my hand as we walked down the beach together. We have a family tradition of going to Cannon Beach Conference Center. It's a Christian conference center, and we go for a week, and that was our family thing. And we were walking down the beach together. He was maybe 10 or 11 years old, and he reached out his hand, and he held my hand, and we walked down the beach together. And wow, not realizing that would probably be the last time he walked with my hand. Now, he's a grown-up guy, right? Men are men, and we don't usually hold hands. That's the idea here. But take that back to last summer. We decided to start taking our grandkids to Cannon Beach. No parents allowed, so that they can really have fun. And so his son, Beckett, reached up. He's 10 years old, and took his grandma's hand. And you can imagine emotions that flew over me as we walked down to the rock there together. And he said at the end, he says, "Grandpa, I love you, but I especially love that you bring us to Bruce's candy shop afterwards." So there's just something beautiful about these generations, right? And then last winter, we were going to our secret steelhead fishing spot, my son and I. And we're crossing a beaver pond. And he reaches out and says, "Dad, looks like you need a little bit of help." And he grabs my hand and leads me across this tipsy beaver pond. And you're saying, well, what's that have to do with this text? The text is, we just didn't know. I don't know. I didn't know what my son would become. I certainly don't know what my grandson will become. And I imagine that Mary, seeing the baby just born, hearing all these amazing things from the angels, she probably wasn't really sure, because the Bible says that she pondered these things in her heart. And I think parents and grandparents, we've been asking that question a lot, right? We pray for our kids, hopefully. We encourage them, but we just don't know. And Jesus grew up to be the Savior of the world. Revelation 1:5 gives us a threefold picture of who Jesus is. Did you catch that? He's the amazing firstborn, or the faithful witness. He's the firstborn from the dead, and he's the ruler of all the kings on the earth. And as we start 2026, I just want to challenge you to think about what is he saying in this little verse with these three phrases that we pass over. Because, hey, we go to church, we hear all the time, Jesus is this, Jesus is that. These become so familiar to us, we don't think about it. So let's take the first one. The first question I have for you today is, can you trust Jesus? Can you trust him? It says Jesus is the faithful witness. Now, what is a witness? Well, I've been a witness a few times in a courtroom setting, and the idea is you're supposed to tell what you saw or what you heard, and you're supposed to tell the truth. Now, I had a little problem a few months back. I was speeding on Depot Road, right past the airport there, 40 and a 25, boom, he got me. And I said to the officer, I said, is it possible, because I'm trying to put Jim in the best light possible, right? I was speeding, I know I was speeding. And I forgot it was a pastor. I'm not supposed to really lie, but I was just sort of extending the truth a little bit. And I said, is it possible that you could have radared that airplane that was just landing behind me here? Because I know that they slow down pretty slow, the little ones do, before they land, right? And he kind of laughed at me. And I said, I'll reduce your ticket to 35 and a 25. It's like, okay, big deal. Still goes on your record, right? I was not a faithful witness, really. I was putting things in my own words to try and make myself look good. 1 Timothy 6:13 says, Jesus Christ, even before testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. Well, what did he say when he stood before Pontius Pilate? Do you remember what he said? He says, I am the faithful witness. I came to the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. That's what Jesus says. Jesus is the supreme truth teller. He doesn't try to spin it. He doesn't try to, he doesn't say something and then walk it back like the news people do sometimes. Oh, I really didn't mean that. No. He says when he speaks in the scriptures, he means truth. And that's the problem we see in our world so many times, right? Our world seems kind of slippery. We live in a world of broken promises. And often people are not asking, is Christ true? They're trying to ask, well, is he interesting enough to believe in him? Is he really hip and cool? Is he really going to be relevant? No, he may not be relevant, but he is trustworthy and true, and he is the faithful witnesses. Look around. You know, we have leaders that break the promises. We have headlines that contradict yesterday's headlines. We have institutions that people can't trust anymore. A culture where truth is whatever you think you want truth to be and whatever makes you feel good, do it. That's what we live in. But Jesus never clarified anything like that. When he spoke truth, he is, the Bible says, the faithful witness. In fact, when he spoke truth, it cost him something, right? It cost him his life. And of course, that's God's plan, but still, he's the truthful witness. His words were never deceitful, never manipulative, never self-serving. So what really is a faithful witness? Well, first of all, what is the faithful witness? First of all, what God said, Christ made known to us. What he said, Christ made known. Jesus perfectly revealed the character and will of God so that we could see that and bring humanity to the ministry, flesh and bones, so we could see what God looked like. Second, he taught without fear of others. We all have fear of what people might think of us if we do certain things or say certain things. Not Jesus. He proclaimed truth. He proclaimed it consistently. He didn't worry about the opposition who tried to kill him, or persecution, or religious or other kinds of authorities. He was faithful, even to death. That was the culmination, actually. His sacrificial death on the cross was the culmination of his truthfulness. And the Bible says he sealed his testimony with the blood for your salvation and mine. Is that exciting or what? That makes me excited. Wow. And then on top of that, he's going to reveal the truth in the end times as the faithful and true judge and ruler, and he will return to vindicate his people. and ensure that the prophecies that are in this book will take place and that we will live with him forever in heaven. What that means is we can trust Jesus. If you ask the question, can I trust him? I would say, yes, you can. In fact, just think of it as a Christian, a time where God proved himself to you to be faithful. Maybe it was a crisis that you've gone through. Maybe it was a health issue, challenge. I always forget, women have issues, men have challenges. Whatever it was, you got to know that. A need he met for you when you didn't expect it, or maybe it was a fear that you have that he carried it. Let me put it this way. When you sit at an exam table for a doctor's office, right? Why do you even go to the doctor? Because you need some help, and you need someone that you can trust, and you need, hopefully, they're trained enough to help you. My wife had, I don't know what that's called, but it gets in your toenails, and it's fungus, and turns your toenails brown, and that's bad for a woman, I understand. Well, I got it. I mean, we do sleep together, right? I got it, and pretty soon we're both looking at our feet going, whoa, there's something weird here. So we go to the doctor, and the doctor's expertise is what we're looking for. And he goes, okay, well, hey, you got a problem, man. You got to put this stuff on it. You got to take these pills. The idea is we go to the doctor to get healed. Why? Because he has special training in the health area. Stop for a minute. That's Jesus who we're talking about. Jesus says he's the great physician. His diagnosis, his prescriptions, everything that we should do to be healthy in the Word of God is laid out for us. Why? Because he is the truthful witness. So you can trust him. You can trust his word. You can trust his timing, even when he seems slow. And you can trust his character. Why? Because he never changes. The Bible says that he's the same in Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when God says something like that, you can build your life on it. And I'm sure most of you have. So can I trust him? Answer, right there in Scripture, yes. He is the faithful witness. Wow. Well, if Jesus is a faithful witness, then that leads me to my next question. Question number two, does he have the power to help me? He's the truthful witness, but does he a faithful witness, but does he have the power to help me? And then the second part of verse 5 says he's the firstborn from the dead. What does that mean, and how does that help me? Well, this title points us to the resurrection. Not just that he rose. Other people rose from the dead in Scripture, right? But they didn't live forever. They died. And Jesus rose again to never die again. And that's the foundation of our faith, right? It's so exciting to hear that. He's the first person that has ever been dead and risen from the dead, never to die again. He didn't just come back to life like a resuscitation victim. He came back to life in a glorified, victorious, unkillable body that is absolutely perfect. And I find great comfort in that. I'm sure I can speak for Robert standing at a graveside, which I just did last week, and trying to say something hopeful. When there are no words to say in the face of a tragedy. You see, it's not easy to pray when somebody has been taken from you. It's not easy to go, okay, Lord, I know you got a plan here. I'm not sure what it is, but even then, doubts roll over you. And no wonder the Bible calls death in 1 Corinthians 15:26. It says, death is the last enemy. Oh, yeah. But you know what? In those moments, I find strength in one thing and one thing only. And that is that Jesus has conquered the grave. He's conquered the grave, and he's done what no other mortal could ever do. He's come back from the grave to live and to live forever and take us with him. Now, I know you're not charismatic, but you could say hallelujah if you wanted to here. I mean, we sang praise the Lord, right? That's what we're talking. Praise the Lord. That's an amazing thing. And then what happens to those who believe in him? Well, thank God we're not left to wonder or speculate about it, are we? We're left here to think about First Thessalonians 4:14 that says, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus." You notice that little phrase, "if we believe"? That's the condition. It's as simple, and yet sometimes as difficult, as belief. As far as I know, there's no cemeteries that have a money-back guarantee, like Costco. None of them have, they don't keep track of returning customers, at least I don't think they do. There aren't any. Jesus is the only person who's ever walked through death and come out the other side. And he has the keys to heaven. Some of you know I've experienced 3 heart attacks, and someone was just saying that somebody just had an ablation. I've had a few of those too. And God still wants me alive. But if your heart stops, what do? They use these paddles on you, this defibrillator, I guess it's called. Maybe you have one in the church here. And the one we have at Victory is, we had to use it here a while back, and it even has directions that tell you what to do. You know, you don't have to read anything. It says, put the paddles on the thing, and then push the button, boof. And it shocks you back to life, and that's what it's supposed to do. It gives you a shock, and you hopefully become resuscitated. A defibrillator can shock a heart back to life. But again, even if you come back to life, one day you're going to die. Because it's a temporary thing. But resurrection, if you're a believer, is a permanent part of who you are as a Christian. We look forward to that. You know, and some of us are, at times, getting pretty close, right? So, Jim, why does all this matter? I mean, what's the big deal? Well, it matters because Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. Sin does not have the final word if you believe in Jesus. No failure defines you permanently. No grave is permanent. No despair is ultimate. No fear is undefeatable. Right? We agree? Absolutely not. Because if God can raise his son Jesus, he can help you. He can restore you. He can carry you. He can change you. He can resurrect what you think is dead. Does Jesus have the power to help me? Yes. He's the firstborn from the dead. And that leads us to the third question. Can he take care of my future? What's verse 5c say? And he says, and he is also the ruler of the kings of the earth. Well, why is this such a breathtaking statement? The word for ruler means that he has ultimate authority over all the kings on the earth. That means that he's not one of the kings. He's not a king among other kings. He's not just a spiritual king while earthly kings do the real king stuff. He may be great, they may be great, but Jesus is greater. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, right? That's who he is. They might be mighty, but he has all might. Millions may answer to leaders in our world, but Jesus rules over everyone. He's not merely one king. He rules over every king. And that's why we sing at Christmas and Easter, hallelujah, the hallelujah chorus, right? Lord of lords, King of kings, hallelujah. Hallelujah just is a fancy word in Hebrew that means praise the Lord. And we sang that today in our songs. Just look at our world. Does it look like Jesus is winning? Sometimes it doesn't, does it? You know, we have the economic swings, we have wars, elections, we just saw a political thing go on in Venezuela. We have new technologies, we have fear about the future, and if we're not careful, we'll start thinking that the world is spinning out of control. But it's not spinning because there's the King of Kings and he is steering. You know, like the country song, Jesus take the wheel. Yeah, he's got the wheel. We just can't always see it that way. And when I look at history, I always think of a chessboard. You know, Lyndon's got a famous chess tradition, right? Or maybe it's a culture. And I'm not a very good chess player. When I look at a chessboard, I see people moving pieces in weird ways. You know, you can do this one too, you can do this one diagonally, but you can't do this one diagonally. This one goes straight up down. Now, this one you can hop over, one to the left or to the right. These pieces are everywhere. The kings, the queens moving, the pawns advancing, the battle's unfolding, but Jesus, he's in control of the board, the chessboard itself. That's someone greater than just the game of chess. He's our King and King. He's the Lord of Lords. And that is the part we can take great hope in as we start 2026. Now, this question isn't in the text, but I want to end with question number 4. And that is, what does that mean for 2026, our future? Is Jesus worried about 2026? I don't think so. You see, Jesus isn't just your provider. I mean, your job isn't your provider. Jesus is your provider. Your health isn't your security. I've sure found that in my life. Jesus is my security. That cute gal or that cute guy that's hanging around, you know, you got eyes for him and stuff like that. He's not your confidence. Jesus is. Your retirement, that's not your hope. Jesus is your hope. Your peace is not based on CNN or any other Fox News or whatever else you watch. It's based on God's sovereignty. Because Christians don't interpret the Bible through world events. We interpret the Bible and the events that happen through the Scriptures itself, the Word of God. That's crucial for us to remember when we have doubts or when we have fears. And I'm sure 2026 will bring its own challenges and issues and things that we have to deal with. But it's helpful to do a couple things. One, look backwards. How many times in Scripture have you read the Old Testament over and over and over and over and over? I mean, ad nauseum, God says, Israel, remember. Remember the Egyptians bringing you out of captivity. Remember the land of plenty. Remember all these things I have done for you. And then you walk away from me and I take you back. But ask yourself, where has God been faithful to me this past year? What did I survive that I didn't think I could survive? What did God teach me through the trials I've had to endure or gone through? Or simply, when I was quiet enough to listen. I love that one old song by Bill Gaither. That it starts out by saying, God only talks to little boys when they're fishing. And the next line is, because it's the only time they're quiet enough to listen. And I think of that in myself all the time. I need to quiet down and listen because my first thing to do is talk. So when we look back, we can see God's faithfulness. We can see His provision. We can see His things that He's done and walked us through. And then we can also look ahead before we get too far into this year. We can say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen this year, but I can give you my fears right now. I can give you my plans. I can give you my family. I can even give you that cute girl or guy that's on my radar because I want your best for me. In fact, I believe Jesus is already in the days that we haven't lived yet. Do you believe that? He's there before us. Which brings me back to where I started. Walking on the beach with my son and later my grandson. Holding my hand, I didn't pretend to know what would happen to them or how they would live life or what kind of occupations they would ever have. And of course, the grandson, he's not old enough yet to do any of that stuff. But one thing I can tell you, whether it was showing love by taking them to the candy shop or just holding their hand, there was some security in Dad. There was some security in Grandpa. They felt loved. They had confidence that they were safe. They had confidence that whatever would happen, that Dad or Grandpa would be there for them, not just for that moment, but for the future. You know what that is, don't you? That's a picture of faith. we major in faith, right? From our Reformed perspective, that's what we're all about. Can we walk through the next year with the faith that we can trust the one who holds our hands, not knowing what the future brings, but still be able to say, hallelujah, praise be to God. Can I trust him? You sure can. He's the faithful witness. Does he have the power to help me? Duh! Yeah, he's the firstborn from the dead. Will he take care of my future? He takes care of all the kings of the earth in whatever chess game you might be thinking about. He rules the kings of the earth. He's the king of kings and lords of lords. And so you're in good hands when your hand is holding on to him. And when he's holding on to you, saying, my son, my daughter, no matter what happens this year, I'm there with you. I'm there for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Father, as we sing our next song, will you bring this into our hearts? Will you help us remember these questions? Can I trust you? Yes. Do you have the power to help me? Yes. Will you take care of me? Yes. And then, Lord, even in the times when we don't feel that, will you give us that faith? Will you give us the assurance, your grace, to cement that in our hearts? And so we do not have to be afraid.